There are a lot of blurry lines in marketing. Certainly between the definitions of services and overlap of what is content marketing, social media, and search engine optimization, where do these end and begin? But also from the standpoint of responsibilities and titles, I think you can safely say that there's a blurry line between professional marketers, consultants, and agencies. But regardless of the title, we all still need to get the job done. So to that end, I think many of us can appreciate the concept of duct tape marketing. I've been familiar with the brand a long time, and it's always resonated with me because the bottom line is often that marketing just needs to get it done. And whether that means Googling the problem to solve, getting your hands dirty, hiring an agency, or relying on muscle memory from doing the work for over 10 years, we all still need to get it done. So I think all marketers and consultants we'll get something from today's episode focusing on SEO for growth.
What is the DNA of business marketing? How do we market ourselves now and in the future? Brand communications is evolving. Are you? Let's explore together. Spiral upwards. This is Spiral Marketing.
John Janch is a marketing consultant, speaker, and author of Duct Tape Marketing, Duct Tape Selling, The Commitment Engine, and The Referral Engine, as well as the founder of the Duct Tape Marketing Consultant Network. His latest book, SEO for Growth, The Ultimate Guide for Marketers, Web Designers, and Entrepreneurs, was created to change the way the world thinks about SEO. Welcome to the show, first of all.
Well, thanks for having me, Carl.
My pleasure. I have been familiar with your brand, Duct Tape Marketing, for what feels like almost 15 years. How long have you guys actually been around?
Say, imagine how long it feels to me then. Now, the brand Duct Tape Marketing, you probably nailed that about right. It's actually been in existence for 15 years. I've actually owned my own small business marketing consulting firm for about 28 years, though.
Ah, okay. And have things changed much over the years?
Well, dramatically. I mean, I started it really like a lot of people do. I had decided that I was not meant to work for someone, so I just jumped out there and started finding people that I could ask if I could do something for them. I figured out how to do it, and I'd charge them. that was my plan, and really built kind of a traditional marketing consulting agency. I had about 10 people, I think, at the height of, you know, the traditional staff and office and all that kind of good stuff. And I found that I really enjoyed working for and with small business owners, but it was kind of tough in the traditional way. They had the same needs and challenges, but certainly not the same budgets or even attention spans, really. So I decided what I needed to do to address that frustration is I needed to be able to walk in and say, you know, I'm going to install a marketing system. You know, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here are the results we hope we're going to get. And by the way, here's what it costs. And I found, in short order, that that was a very appealing approach for a small business owner because it's actually kind of hard to piece together all the parts for a lot of small businesses. There's people selling SEO and people selling social media and people selling websites. And so somebody that came in and promised to kind of install the whole thing as one working system was very appealing. And I really came to the name Duct Tape Marketing and changed my entire approach and business model really after I kind of discovered that was a very appealing approach. And I needed kind of a product name, and that's where Duct Tape Marketing came from.
Excellent. And when did you make that shift?
I can tell you exactly because I registered the domain name coincidentally on my wife's birthday in 2002. So February 18th, 2002, Duct Tape Marketing was born.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, your message has been resonating with me. I think I struck off on my own right around 2003.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, we've seen a lot change, haven't we? I mean, that was really when people were starting to rely on the internet as a business and marketing tool, and we started to realize that people would stick their credit card in there and exchange it for products and services. And so really everything that we do today and probably take for granted between content marketing and email marketing and SEO and social media is really in a lot of ways come to us as marketers in the last decade.
Absolutely. I remember in 2002, 2003, websites were basically just online brochures that were nothing like they are now.
Oh, I don't know. There's a few of those left, Carl.
That's fair. Well, that's a good segue. I mean, search engine optimization, as you've been writing and working on this, has changed immensely. So how do you describe SEO nowadays?
The title of my latest book is SEO for Growth, and I intentionally chose the word growth because growth is a strategic word. It's not SEO for clicks or SEO for traffic, and I think that's probably the greatest way, easiest way for me to sum up how it has changed. I think search engine optimization is every bit as important, maybe more important, than it has been over the last 10 years, but it's just kind of moved into the strategic level. We do planning now with for a client when we're thinking about either building or redesigning a website. We're thinking about developing a content strategy. Obviously, we're thinking about, you know, how we're going to get them to rank and maybe show up in the Google 3-pack. Well, all of that starts before we really even start designing anything or writing a single word. We are kind of designing those things with an SEO, with a marketing, you know, activated website approach in mind, as opposed to building a pretty website, filling it up with words, and then getting it SEO'd, you know, which was kind of the old path. Now we have to do those things in, I'd say tandem, but what would be the word for three things at once? We have to do
layered approach.
We really have to do those things at the strategic level as we're even figuring out, you know, who our ideal client is and what their challenges are and what their intent is when they turn to a search engine or when they start the journey looking for a product or service like ours. To me, that is SEO.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I speak about SEO frequently myself, and I know that the stories over the last 10 years have changed quite a bit as Google's algorithm has changed and as social has entered the mix and become a more increasingly important factor. But where do you like to start with your clients? Is it strategy? Is it the customer? What's the best starting point for you these days?
Well, really all of those things, because to me, definitely strategy. I mean, I kind of have my seven steps to small business marketing success, which is an ebook I wrote and have revised probably 25 times now, but it's been downloaded several hundred thousand times. Really, strategy before tactics, that line or that element or that principle has never changed for me. And that's why I even took on the SEO book, because, you know, a lot of people look at that and think, well, gosh, that's a really kind of down in the weeds tactical thing. And I think that content planning, figuring out who your ideal client is, figuring out the journey that they're going on, figuring out the problems they're trying to solve, and then applying the website as your online hub for attracting and growing and building that business. Even if all of your transactions are done across a desk today, that's still the hub of most modern businesses. So we have to start really with that foundation of ideal client, core message, what their challenges are, you know, what their journey is, you know, and then how are we going to actually build something that is compelling and that they're going to find.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Strategy before tactics that's an excellent quote as well. And one of the things that I love about SEO is I think it validates or maybe it actualizes strategy with data.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. I mean, I've been talking about content today being the voice of strategy. You know, so we develop our who our ideal client persona is and what their problems are and, you know, how we're uniquely suited to solve those problems. And that, in a lot of ways, informs what your content needs to be, because that's how we're going to verbalize or visualize our strategy in a lot of ways and make it real. And so what a lot of the SEO work does, particularly the early on research, I mean, there's no question there's some under the hood ongoing types of things to get pages to rank, but to create the right pages, to create the right architecture, to create the right phrases and use the right terms, you know, that involves SEO, and that certainly is a very strategic component, at least early on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wanted to discuss with you why to focus on SEO. And I think that that's one of the reasons, if not the reason, is that SEO gives you the data and the pathway towards the people's interests so that you can create the content marketing that makes sense and target people appropriately. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, another thing it does is it helps take a lot of the guesswork out. We have so many amazing tools now and data at our fingertips. I mean, let's say I'm a client we were working with recently is an elder law attorney, which is a very specific component of the law that has to deal with a lot of issues when, you know, say mom and dad gets Alzheimer's or you need guardianship or power of attorney. I mean, it's a whole arm of the law. And sure. We actually have the tools now that can say, well, let's drill down and figure out what questions are people asking. Because guess what? They're not saying, I wonder if I could hire an elder law attorney today. I mean, in fact, most of the people don't even know what that term means. They just know they've got a problem. They've got a sibling that they're arguing with over what to do, you know, with mom or dad's, you know, issues or financial issues. And so this actually allows us to drill in and say, these are the exact questions that people are asking in what volume, and really be able to say, okay, we develop our entire strategy now around answering those questions because they haven't figured out that they need an elder law attorney yet. They just know they have a problem. And if we can build trust and awareness around that problem, then we can actually then start to show them that we are or we have the solution. And that's the tools are just, you know, that's where I start getting a little geeky about it, is when I feel like I've got this crystal ball that I can look into and know exactly what to do.
Absolutely. Well, I want to get into the tips and tricks in SEO, but first I'd want to ask you, do you have a favorite story from researching and writing SEO for growth?
What kind of spurred me to write this book was all the content marketers who are writing posts that somehow variously point out that SEO is dead, that SEO is no longer useful, relevant, or even real. What it implies, of course, is that all SEO was about was tricking the search engines. And, you know, unfortunately, there was certainly a lot of that in the early days when Google and the search engines were still trying to figure this out. How do we process the billions and billions of websites out there and cross-reference those against the billions and billions of searches to turn up useful data? But their game, their goal, their objective has never changed. It has always been to provide somebody who turns to a search engine the most useful, relevant, on-point content that seems to match up with the intent of their search. They've just gotten better at doing that. And obviously, content and the words on the page that line up with that useful and relevant definition are what they now are returning. But SEO still plays a huge part in helping marketers understand what that content needs to be and where they need to put that content.
Absolutely. By the way, do you feel like you answered the question, how did your past lead you here and what is the vision behind Duct Tape Marketing? I felt like you did, but I want to make sure.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, as I said, it really came about to wanting to work with small business owners and trying to figure out a way to solve my greatest frustration. What happened to me was I ended up solving, I think, one of the greatest frustrations of a lot of small business owners, because it is hard to buy marketing services in a useful and integrated way. I think magic happens when you do that. You know, when you go out and you say, I'm going to create this thing because I want to solve my challenge, and you just maybe unbeknownst to you, tap into an unmet need and a great market. And so, you know, that's something that you could sit down with a piece of paper in a boardroom and try to figure out. But, you know, by doing it, getting out there, talking, saying, here's what I'm thinking about doing, you sort of discover what the customer wants to buy.
Excellent. How did that lead you to SEO specifically?
So our marketing system, you know, we already talked about strategy before tactics, but then obviously building a total online presence is a big part of the implementation or the tactics that we need to use today. And, you know, for me, SEO was really how I built my business. I mean, I didn't use all the tricks. I mean, I maybe studied it and figured out, okay, I need to do this with metadata and I need to do this with my content and I need to get backlinks and, you know, kind of some of the common things. And it worked for me. I mean, I have built I've been at it a long time. I've put a lot into this, but I've built, I hate to call it a fortress because as soon as I do, Google will like penalize me.
They heard that.
I built a fortress that you know, brings us, I looked at a keyword report the other day and we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 79,000 keyword phrases that rank in the top 100.
Wow.
Which of course, you know, anything that below 10 doesn't really do you much good, but still. I think it's testament to just you know, how powerful that is. I mean, I could probably not write another word for a year and maybe my traffic goes down 15-20% because it's I'm not getting that daily, you know, surge of people that are subscribing to my blog posts and things. But as far as some of the blog posts that have been out there and still generate significant traffic for 10 years, they probably will for 10 more years. You know, that's what got me really excited about SEO. Quite frankly, when I started, we really didn't have AdWords and we didn't have display advertising necessarily. I mean, they were, you know, there were, you could buy newsletters and, you know, to be placed in newsletters and some things like that early on. But, you know, we didn't have the pay-per-click. And so I really figured out, you know, building my online presence using SEO. And I always kind of took a little bit of joy in the fact that I could outrank most SEO companies, even though I didn't, you know, I wasn't an SEO person. I just figured out really, really early on that if you write content that is related to the stuff people are searching for and you push that content out there and amplify it as much as possible, you're probably going to do pretty well. And obviously, it's gotten more competitive today, particularly in a space that I'm in marketing.
Right.
But those principles really still apply. If you write a lot of content that is very in sync with the things people are looking for, you do a ton of networking and you know, guest posting and sharing other people's content, you're going to get those links back to your site. And then you take care of some of the technical under the hood aspects that are admittedly evolving on a, you know, week by week basis, it seems, you're going to do pretty well.
Excellent. What are some of your favorite tips and tricks in SEO?
You know, unfortunately, that's the reputation that SEO has. You know, my tips and tricks are great content every day for a really long time. nobody wants to hear that, of course, because that sounds like work. Probably my biggest tip is that, because some people have figured out, yes, okay, I can do the keyword research. I can write some content. It may not be, you know, 2,000 words every day, but I can, you know, I can get that weekly blog post out there. So the next element that you need to focus on, and this is an element that a lot of the kind of black hat SEO folks really killed, is you do need to get other people linking back to that content. Google has always made that a very, very high ranking factor in the algorithms. In fact, it gave it too much credit and just said, hey, somebody who had 2,000 links, I don't care where they're from, is better than somebody that has 1,000 links. And so that led to people buying links and doing all these kind of link scams and different things. And so now Google has really said, hey, it's not about the quantity, it is the quality, it's the relevance of those links. So if you're a plumber and you have links back from plumbing suppliers and other local strategic partners and maybe other trades, they see those as very relevant, useful links. But if you're out there just buying links from, I don't know, Russia, India, places where some of these, you know, link scams seem to originate, they're just going to discount them. I don't know that they may penalize you at some point, but I guarantee you'll get no credit for them. They want to see something that looks very organic, like you and I was on your show. And so I linked, you know, to that content on your, when you published it on your blog post. That seems very logical to them. That seems very organic. And so think about link building a lot like you might to traditional networking. You know, look for those local resources, look for those organizations, you know, get links from those organizations you belong to, get links from, you know, if you're B2B, get links from and to your customers. If you buy products and services, get links to and from your vendors and suppliers, and make sure that you're spending as much time trying to get your content out in other places where your customers might go so that you can send them back to your website. Don't just count on writing content and putting it in your website and hoping people find it.
Oh, I love that. Well, I don't want you to give away too much here, but your materials make mention of a customer review funnel, and I thought that sounded interesting. Could you talk about that for a few beats?
Oh, you bet. Particularly for the local business. I mean, every business needs reviews. It's great content. It's great social proof. Some industries, hotels, restaurants, you know, we won't eat there if they are poorly reviewed. But you know, think about the remodeling contractor and the plumber. The reviews have become very important for social proof for them. But it's also a very large ranking factor for that local maps listing. So when somebody I'm in Kansas City, if I type in plumber in Kansas City, it's going to show me some ads in Google. It's going to show me some of what they think are the organic results for that term. But it's also going to show me three map listings or directory listings. And if I'm on a mobile device, that's about all I'll see on that. And the idea is that, well, they know I'm in Kansas City. I type in a term like plumber. It must be I'm looking for a plumber. And so they show me, you know, very quickly, you know, three listings, website click, call click, directions click. I mean, just make it really easy for me to find that business because they figure I have pretty high intent. I want that kind of business. One of the things they also show there are reviews, particularly Google reviews. And so, and if you're using a Apple Maps device, it'll be Yelp reviews. And so we have to get really good, I think, as local businesses at stimulating those reviews, because I don't care how many customers just think you are unbelievable. You know, most businesses, it's very difficult to review them. You know, they don't have all the things out there that make it common to do, you know, like restaurants. You know, people commonly review restaurants and take pictures of their meals and, you know, all those kinds of things.
Sure.
You don't do that necessarily with the remodeling contractor unless the remodeling contractor makes it easy for you to do. And so there are some tools now that we recommend that you can do it analog. I mean, you can hand somebody a business card and say, hey, go to this link and, you know, click on Google or Yelp or click on – we set up entire pages that make it very easy. So the remodeling contractor might also be in the house directory, or an attorney might be in the AVO rating directory just for attorneys. And we just create a page, a landing page that we can send their happy customers to, who then have the ability to just one click, and it takes them straight to where they would review you on Google. Because, you know, half the challenge is that, first off, Google doesn't want you doing those falsely. So, that person has to log in using their Google ID. And so in some cases, the challenge just is them not knowing how to do it or where to do it. So we set up these review funnels and, you know, frequently ask people to go to those pages to make reviews. And it makes a big difference in the particularly in the local rankings.
Excellent. Do you have a mantra about SEO or marketing that keeps you inspired in your work?
The thing that keeps me inspired is I love change. Yeah. The good news is a lot of people don't. And so what that means is it really my curiosity and you know, love of these tools and the, you know, the next new thing allows me to kind of be seen as, and I think a lot of people look at me this way, as a filter for, you know, what's coming and do I need to pay attention to that? Because the other thing I think that, you know, I'm pretty good at doing is looking at a new tool. You know, when Twitter came along and everybody, or at least a lot of small businesses, were like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Why would I ever use that? I was able to help them see how it could be a tool to help them create better relationships with their existing customers or to serve their existing customers. And when you looked at it in that light, you know, then it did have some use. But all a lot of people see is, you know, the what Miley Cyrus is doing or something on Twitter, and so consequently they discount it. And so that's one of my favorite things to do, is to take a tool and look at it and say, what's the actual practical use of this for a small business?
That's interesting. What do you think the future of SEO will look like?
It's not going away. I think some of the things that are coming that are going to impact it. Voice search is growing. And by that, I mean like the Siri and the Alexa, where you can say, Alexa, find me a plumber. And it will give you the results, you know, verbally. The thing about those results with those systems is they only give you one. And so is the implication by that does that mean that you better be number one for that? I think that, you know, there are a lot of people that say that is going to be the gold standard, particularly for local businesses. Another thing that you're seeing more and more of is search inside of places that are not traditionally seen as search engines, and not just search, but consuming content. A very, very, I wouldn't even call it growing, I think a very established practice with a lot of Facebook users is that they curate some sites and people that write about things and groups that they belong to, and that really becomes their source of information. So if they want to know something about something, or they want to find good content about a topic, they're turning to those groups and to the curated sites that they have inside of there and searching, rather than simply turning to a search engine. And so What I think that means for us as marketers is we have to also start paying great attention to optimizing the content that we put in social media, using hashtags, using keyword phrases, and making it so that if people do go in there and search, that they're able to find our content. And that's it's happening in not as fully, but it's happening to some degree inside of sites like LinkedIn as well.
Absolutely. Okay, well, before we wrap up, is there anything that you'd like to add?
People always ask me that at the end of these interviews. And, you know, the problem is, as you may have guessed, Carl, I just kind of let it all rip. I don't hold anything back. And so I never have a good answer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have to make up some pat answer that I never talk about. And when people ask me that, I'll just like spill that out. It may not even be relevant to what we've been talking about, but at least I'll have an answer.
Very good. Well, the last question is, what is the best place for listeners to learn more about you and to reach you?
Well, sure. So pretty much everything I've been doing for the last 15 years, you can find at ducttapemarketing.com, DUCTTAPE marketing.com. I've got a podcast and newsletter and blog and a bunch of ebooks and things. So go consume that. It's all free. Since we've been talking about SEO, I do have a site, SEOforGrowth.com. And in addition to finding out more about the book, you can actually plug your website in and we'll give you a little SEO report based on what we find.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, John, it's a real honor to have you on the show. I've been familiar with your work for a long time, and it's great to meet you here, and I really appreciate you being on the show.
Well, you're doing a great job there, Carl, so thanks so much.